Good afternoon, everyone. This is Sunday Arts Magazine. We have Stephen A. Russell, who's coming in to do his film reviews for us. So Stephen comes in every 2 weeks. And welcome, Stephen, to the show.
Glad to be back. It's always a pleasure.
Very good. Now, Stephen, what have you been seeing, basically?
Look, I'm really excited at the moment. We've got some great Australian documentaries to talk about this week, and I briefly mentioned Gurumol last week. Yep. Now, before I get howled down, normally, following his death last year, he would be referred to as Dr. G. Yunupingu, but in this particular instance, the family have actually given permission in perpetuity for his recording name to be preserved, because they really felt that, you know, he has such an incredible musical legacy in Australia that they wanted to maintain that. Now, his new album, if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, is absolutely haunting. It's spectacular,
and it's just debuted. It knocked Josh Pitterman off the number one on the classical crossover albums.
Well,
but it's also number one on the pop charts as well.
Yeah, which is fantastic to see. And you know, it really does sort of hammer home just how important a part of Australian music legacy that he was.
Oh, absolutely.
And look, the attendant film is absolutely goosebumping.
Now he actually had seen it just before he died and gave permission for it to move forward.
Well, listened to.
He
literally 3 days, I believe, beforehand. Yep. And this actually closed out the Melbourne International Film Festival last year. And there was a huge debate about whether that would go ahead. Yep. But, you know, the family permission was given. And Paul Damien Williams, the director, has done something incredibly beautiful here. It really captures Gurumol's childhood on Elcho Island, his really enduring friendship with producer, best friend, manager, and in his own words, brother, Michael Honan as well.
I mean, he did wonders for David. You know, like, he really worked with him all those years and helped him, you know, like, be the artist that he was.
Yeah, and look, it's quite incredible because he didn't really like to speak a lot, so oftentimes he would sort of be his spokesperson, and of course that could be awkward territory, you know, a white person speaking for an Indigenous person, but it's very clearly, I mean, one of the kind of amazing things about Gurumol's legacy is that his voice spoke so loud and brightly that even in his absolute, you know, refusal to really play the game or do the publicity, he still became, you know, a global sensation. I mean, there's some hilarious stuff in here. I guess one of the things that you don't realise about someone when you see behind the scenes is he had a really cheeky sense of humour.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And there is a fantastic moment in there where he is on I can't remember the name of it, but basically the huge French music show, and he's appearing with Sting, who has basically insisted that he duet in language on Every Breath You Take. And it's kind of actually, I won't spoil too much, but let's just say that I don't think they were particularly that enamored by meeting Sting. That's all I'm going to say. But it's really amazing. There's some stuff in there as well about, you know, the arias. There's the American tour that was sort of didn't go ahead at the last minute. But really, what just shines through is his unearthly voice and the real connection to home and family and the way family speaks about him. And again, bearing in mind that this, you know, was before he died, there's almost an elegiac sense to this film as well, almost as if he was at peace, or I don't want to preempt that, but there was some really, it's a beautiful send-off to him and to his legacy.
Yeah, and it's wonderful that it's actually being allowed to be shown, so which is fantastic. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, look, absolutely. It's a film I think all Australians should see. Yep. And there's actually another Indigenous documentary out, so Gurumol's out next week, and at the moment in cinemas there is a documentary called The Song Keepers, which is quite an interesting little one as well. It's actually by Indian director called Naina Sen, who now lives here, and she heard tell of this group of Aboriginal women choral group that lives in Central Australia, and basically there's this strange little, I mean, we're so used to quite awful colonial tales and, you know, stuff about the stolen generation, but there's this sort of strange little event that happened where German Lutheran you know, missionaries came here, and rather than trying to sort of stamp out Indigenous culture, what they actually ended up doing was translating all of these old Baroque German hymns into language. And so these women, many, many generations later, are still singing these German songs in their own, you know, fast vanishing tongue, and keeping it alive. Both traditions, really, because many of these German songs have also kind of disappeared.
Yeah. Oh, it's fascinating.
And so the documentary follows them as they go back to, well, they take the songs to Germany, and it's quite, again, it's a really moving kind of representation of how music can connect people across language barriers, across culture barriers. And yeah, it does throw up some, you know, interesting conversations about that idea of, you know, maintaining tradition or tradition being wiped out, and this sort of walks a fine line between it. So that's another really interesting one for people to go and see the song.
And that was part of the film festival last year as well.
Also, and the women came and sang. It was incredible. So, you know, it's good to see small, well, not maybe Garmel's not as small, but, you know, Australian documentaries getting a life beyond the film festival circuit.
Yep, brilliant.
And hopefully people turn out for it.
Yep. Good. What else have you seen?
Look, there's another really interesting one in Last Flag Flying, which is the new film from Richard Linklater, who people might know from Boyhood, and also the trilogy with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight.
They were great. I love them.
Look, I really love Linklater. I think he's a really delicate, emotionally intelligent filmmaker who, you know, presents almost real life in front of us, or at least the emotional heft of real life. So for me, this one was a bit of a misstep. Now, what it is, it basically it posits Steve Carell playing a recently bereaved father who's also previously lost his wife to cancer, and his son was a Marine and has, you know, died in the one of the Gulf theatres, I think actually Afghanistan, sorry. And what he goes to collect his son's body, but he decides to make it a sort of a road trip, and with his previous Vietnam vet Marine colleagues, who are played by Lawrence Fishburne and Bryan Cranston. Now, it all sounds really interesting, and the cast is great, but I felt like it was a really clumsy film that didn't quite know what it wanted to say, whether it wanted to be a critique of war or whether it wanted to be a celebration of heroism and, you know, what people sacrifice. And I feel like it kind of tries to walk a fine line in the middle to a disservice. It's also not really sure whether it wants to be kind of darkly comic or whether it actually wants to pull at emotional heartstrings. It felt it didn't have that natural feel that a lot of Linklater's films have for me.
Well, it is, you know, like when you're explaining it, and I have seen something about it, it is a hard topic because it's doing two or three things, isn't it? It's trying to tell a few stories, and I think it should have just stuck to one.
Well, look, or even just, I feel like if he just had a bit more faith in his performers, I feel like they are acting out scenes. I don't feel like these are lived in, and I'm really used with Linklater, you know, seeing what could almost pass as a window into real lives. This feels a lot more staged.
Which is a shame, because it sounds like he has some really good cast in the show as well.
And look, some people have got more out of it than I have. I would never ever discourage people from going and trying a film out themselves, but it didn't do it for me. Do we have time for one more? Are we all done?
Yeah, let's go for another one.
Right, I'm going to squeeze in a last one. This was one of the Best Foreign Film nominations. It's Loveless, and it was Russia's entry. And this filmmaker, I'm going to mangle this. I should have.
I'm sure you YouTubed will. Russian names.
Yeah, I know. Andrei Vyacheslav. I think that's how you pronounce it. Now, his previous film, Leviathan, was absolutely stunning. And he's kind of a persona non grata in Russia? Like, when Leviathan should have been put forward as Russia's Oscar, but they basically vetoed it because he's very critical of the state. And to be honest, okay. I'm amazed he's still alive.
Right.
But there you go. He is, thankfully. And this film, Loveless, is one of the most stunning things I saw again at the Melbourne Film Festival last year.
Yep.
It basically posits an estranged, warring couple who are so busy fighting over the remnants of their collapsed relationship that they completely ignore their young son, who is hearing basically them fighting over who has to take him. Like, they're fighting over neither of them wanting him.
Yep.
Wow. And he then goes missing. Mm. And so the film deals with the really complicated aftermath. And it'd be very easy for the parents to be vilified, and they are to an extent, but it's a lot more complicated. And Mariana Spivak, who plays the mother Zenya, this is an absolutely astounding performance from her in particular, and also from the kid played by Matvey Novikov. It's a really austere film, and yet while it's set at winter, in Russian winter, very austere, very difficult material, and yet you are so emotionally compelled by the aftermath, and you're desperate for this kid to be found and for some kind of, you know, justice for this young boy, that actually, you know, it really brings a lot out of you. I was kind of gobsmacked by this one.
Okay.
It's sort of, one of my friends recently joked, you know, about the Russian literature and film, you know, it's like they have misery in their soul. And it's sort of true, but it's, they also have a kind of epic sweeping canvas. So look, I'd thoroughly recommend people try it out.
How many stars?
That one I'd give 4.5.
Oh, okay. And what's it called again?
It's called Loveless.
Loveless. Okay. So we'll see you at the movies.
Always.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Stephen A. Russell. And you're listening to Sunday Arts Magazine, Joy 94.9.